What is up, team? Welcome back to the Red Storm Rap Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Kane, once again, finally joined again with my good friend Cole Latshaw. Cole, not hoping to have this conversation we're about to have this soon. St. John's, unfortunately, did not make the cut, the NCAA tournament this year. Once again, this year left at the altar. How you feeling, Cole?
Not great, dude. Happy to talk to you. Hopefully the podcast that we record here is as good as the rant that you and I just had off air, just riling each other up. I thought maybe after like a couple nights sleep, I would feel better about this situation, but I'm not. I'm staring at resumes right now that I wrote down on my trusty notepad and staring at FAU and Michigan State and Virginia and comparing that to what St. John's metrics and resume looked like. And I still can't wrap my head around how we didn't make it. At the end of the day, I'm trying to tell myself we have Rick Pitino for five more years in all likelihood, and we're in as good of hands as could humanly be possible. So my confidence is still high that we'll get to the mountaintop. Just a shame that we ended the season playing as well as we did, as white hot. Finally, Rick Pitino brought this team together as one solid unit, and we thought we crawled our way out of the hole that we had dug ourselves. We thought we were going to make the tournament, but the committee decided not, and decided to go elsewhere, and decided that the Big East was only worthy of three invites, which I don't agree with. But
yeah, you sending those committee members Christmas cards next year, Cole?
I will be sending them coal. They will be getting coal in their stockings and not me.
It is obviously very disappointing. And I came on here after the Seton Hall win, and I don't know, maybe I took the word of too many people in the media world, in the college basketball world, that said St. John's is a lock. And I came on here and spoke as if it was a lock. I did say it wasn't 100%, and that's for sure it wasn't. Of course, everything post Seton Hall seemed to go against us. Upsets, long tourney runs, the bid stealers, we know the deal. Even then, though, the committee thought we were past the next four, not even really in consideration, which is incomprehensible to even understand how that gets to that point so far away. Seton Hall's got a hell of a gripe. Providence has a gripe too. The Big East as a whole did not get the respect it needs, it deserves, it was warranted, and it's disappointing to hear such a, lazy, weak, kind of sit back in the corner and almost apologize response from the Big East Conference instead of, standing up and, showing how pissed off they rightfully should be.
Doesn't your heart just break for Chris Ledlam, Danis Jenkins, Joel Soriano, Jordan Dingle, Sean Conway, Naheem Aleen? They had earned the right to play a few more games and to take this to its final conclusion. But that was taken away from me. You mentioned kind of the explanation that the committee had given and Val Ackerman's sort of non-answer to that. But I wrote down just Charles McKellen, the chair for the committee, had some comments specifically about the Big East teams. And I thought we could read through them real quick for anybody that hadn't seen them. He said about St. John's, they were 4-10 in quad one. They had seven opportunities at the top three teams from the Big East and went just 1-6 with a home win over Creighton and no non-conference wins of note. He said about Seton Hall, the best non-conference win was against Mizzou. They played Baylor, Iowa, USC, and Rutgers, dropped those games. He mentioned that Rutgers was without one of their best players in that loss. He then said UConn was without Donovan Klingon for a half in that win. I think Donovan Klingon got hurt when Seton Hall was already up by five in the second half. So that's insanely disrespectful. You and I were talking off air. I think one of the things, sort of with the three teams, St. John's, Seton Hall, Providence, who you could all consider snubs in different rights from the Big East, I think it was kind of going into Selection Sunday, it was all about metrics between those teams as far as what the committee was going to rely on most. Was it going to be St. John's's metrics-based resume? Was it going to be Seton Hall being 13-7 in one of the best conferences? Or was it going to be Providence with six quad one wins? What he had to say was, when you look at Providence 4-7 on the road and not having much to stand on outside of in terms of metrics, St. John's again, 32 in the net, 4-10 in quad one wins, 6-2 in quad two, 10-1 in quad three and four, with the only loss being quad three in, against Michigan. Again, just hard to wrap our heads around this.
4-7 on the road is like such a point as being bad. It's like if you're 5-6 on the road, that's good. If you're 6-5 on the road, that's really good.
Yep.
4-7 isn't like an abysmal record on the road. It's hard to win on the road. Obviously, these are bubble teams we're talking about. So I think that's crazy. You know, I'm not going to do too much crying for St. John's. Obviously, I feel bad for those seniors, as you mentioned. And they did, we thought, do enough. But Seton Hall at 13-7, I can't get over. And it's scary to think about that moving forward. It's a little bit scary because if you're 13-7 in the Big East, how that's not a shoo-in is one thing. How it's not even, you know, a bubble, like limp in at the end, is a completely different ballgame. I mean, and they didn't just pick it up off the crumbs at the bottom. I understand this year was different. We all got a 4-game head start with DePaul and Georgetown. But still, that means they went 9-7 in the rest of the league against a very competitive league, a 9-teams league. All of them were at the bubble at some point. And they beat UConn and Marquette, the top two teams. So the thing about them not getting in with that resume, I feel bad for those guys. I feel bad for Providence. Obviously, they competed so hard when Hopkins went down, and they can still continue to play at a really high level. And then St. John's, I mean, we thought if we won out and then we took care of Ange in round one against Seton Hall, that we'd be in a good spot. And then we showed our capabilities the next day against the clear number one team in the country, UConn. But we weren't even close. So, I mean, I think if we would have took advantage of some opportunities we had, St. John's out of conference, we would be in a much better spot and had a chance to be right there talking about you, Boston College, and you, Michigan. So I'll blame us for not making it, but to not consider Seton Hall with 13-7 is just, you know, it's a troubling thought moving forward with where we are as a conference.
Just to sort of play devil's advocate to you, comparing some of the resumes against some teams that versus like sort of looking at our metrics versus some of the teams that did make it. So like I mentioned, 32 in the net, 25 in KenPom, 33 in strength of schedule, which the committee says is so important. How about a net of 24 in Q1, a team that was 3-9 versus us being 4-10. In quad two, 6-5 versus us being 6-2. And then 10-0 in quad three and four versus us being 10-1. KenPom of 18, which is slightly better than our strength schedule being 13. That's Michigan State, who again wasn't really on the bubble. FAU, how about an 8 seed? Not on the bubble, an 8 seed. A net of 39, quad one, 2-2. Again, we have 4 quad one wins. Quad two, 8-3. How about quad three and four? 15-3, 1 quad three loss, 2 quad four losses. KenPom of 41, strength of schedule, 86. And they're an 8 seed. And we don't get consideration. And again, back to the chairman's comments that we had a bad quad one record of 4-10. Well, what's a 2-2? Like Virginia, 54, 2-7 quad one, 8-3, 13-0, and 3-4, 69 KenPom, 69 strength of schedule. One of the ones that gets me, this is the last one as we run through this, net of 17, great net, quad one, 3-6, quad two, 4-1, quad 3-4, 17-0, KenPom of 15, strength of schedule, 57. And want to take a stab at who that is or what line?
Run it through the quad one and quad two record again.
3-6 in quad one and 4-1 in quad two.
So 7 losses on the year?
Exactly. And let me say they're way higher than an 8 seed.
Way higher than an 8 seed.
That would be Gonzaga as a 5 seed.
Okay. Yeah, they beat back up to 5 after people thinking they were on the potential bubble this year.
But again, like, you know, the Mountain West getting 6 teams, I can't wrap my head around that when the Big East only gets 3. I know you and I were talking again offline. I like to joke about sort of my mindset just with the world, and I'm an accountant. I operate in black and whites. I don't do well in grays. I wanted to shout out
or reds.
I wanted to shout out Brian Pizarris on Twitter. I know a lot of us know him. He's frequent on the SJUBB hashtag, but he had a great tweet that I saw, and he was just saying it's 2024. you know, in all the analytics and all the algorithms we have, there should be more clarity into how these decisions are made. I don't think it should just be so subjective. In my perfect world, I would love to see some type of decided on mashup of KenPoms and Nets and everything. And we could have a clear 1 through 32 here, the automatic qualifiers, 1 through 36 here, are who we're going to put in as at-larges, and the 37th team is out. Then I could feel better about this. But when it's just left to the decisions of a bunch of mid-major athletic directors and the guy from Butler who's retiring anyway, like, and that's fucking idiot Charles McKellen, they just run out there and has these idiotic statements. I don't know, man. I can't do it.
I hear you. I know. And it's obviously comes to the forefront when it's our team being left out. I think we'd be yelling and screaming if there was a perfect computer system and it had us as the 37th team then. You know,
I'm sure I would be too.
What about the eye test then? So
I'm sure I would be then too.
I have a little bit of a hard time not feeling for the people in the room for having to make tough decisions. Obviously, we're pissed off because the Big East got the short end of the stick this year. If, you know, next year we get 7 and ACC gets 3 and they're pissed off, are we going to feel like the committee screwed them or they're making the right choices? I try to look at it from an honest perspective, although honestly, I can't, like you said, those resumes you just listed, how you could honestly say Seton Hall's isn't better than all those, and then consider us at least on equal footing to put us right there and knock on the door. They didn't have us there. It's very, very hard to imagine. And there's a lot of people pissed off, rightfully so. I wonder how our commissioner honestly feels, because we couldn't get a read from how she felt from that, you know, meek and meager response. But hey, what are you going to do? I haven't looked at a bracket yet. I'm sure there's a lot of St. John's fans too sick in the stomach to look at a bracket. No sense in doing it. My only regret, I was telling you before, Cole, is not putting $1,000 on St. John's not to make the tournament when we were getting plus money to do that. I mean, something about Vegas thinking late in the day, they jumped it up to plus 150, St. John's not making it. So it was free money for anyone who's following along at that point. I didn't put enough down, unfortunately, to make me feel good enough to smile that night or to get some sleep. But
you were putting the heartbreak insurance on there, but you didn't put enough of it.
I know.
One other thing I want to, with FAU, like, especially with them getting an 8 seed, but in my opinion, especially after we went over the resume, like, even them getting in my opinion, you cannot tell me that that is not based on their performance last year and the performance in the tournament, which should have no bearing on
guaranteed 100%.
But if you wanted to then tell me that them getting in and getting an 8 seed is based on their performance last year, how in God's name, after the Big East performance in last year's March Madness tournament, how do we not get more than 3 teams? It's just, I don't know. It's mind-boggling.
I know. I was in my mind, that crossed my mind. Like, San Diego State did so well last year, made it to the national championship game, when they're like, oh, that probably made them feel so much better about the Mountain West. Who'd they lose to? And who's the number one seed again this year?
The number one seed who got a rough bracket, a rough sled to hoe to get back
very,
to that final
very
four.
Odd. But you know, like you said, the season itself, although it didn't go as far as we thought, wasn't a failure in my mind. I said first week last year when Rick Pitino got hired, I don't just expect NCAA tournaments out of nowhere. UNC last year was the number one rated team in the country. Start the season, didn't make the tournament. It's not that easy. At the end of the offseason, when we had our final roster, I did say that I expected to make the tournament with what we had. So I am a little disappointed in that sense. But this is where we were, you know, a razor-thin margin error. I think, you know, 20-13, that's the most wins we've had since 18-19. Not the year 18-19, but 2018-2019. It's the 7-20 win season we've had this millennium, so those don't happen that often. Although, in all 7 of those, we haven't had more than 21. So let's get the 22 wins. I think Rick Pitino will get us there soon enough. 11-9 in the conference, that's the most conference wins since Steve Lavin's first year. Keep in mind, we were also playing an 18-game conference schedule up until 2020. But that's the 5th best conference winning percentage we've had since turning the millennium, and it's the first year we've made the Big East Finals since 2000 as well. So a lot of positive, obviously, with the expectations that come with Rick Pitino. There was some letdown middle of the season. Some guys almost even came close to jumping ship, which was ridiculous in its own mind, but I think he got those guys back on board safely. And I know I'm very much encouraged and looking forward to, you know, the immediate future with Rick. And then, you know, like you said, the 5 years he got remaining on that contract.
And I think also the highest turnout for attendance that we've had since like 2001.
I forget the exact numbers, but yeah.
So kudos to the fans for coming out and showing up and supporting all season long. Like you said, I think even once we saw the finalized roster, our expectations when we were talking about it preseason were, hey, let's get to the tournament. Maybe we can win a game once we get there. Maybe we can win more. Who knows? But the biggest thing for us was getting to the tournament, and we finished just barely shy of that. So ultimately, we can't say it's too much of a failure missing the tournament. We were just about where we wanted us to be. You know, we saw growth out of some young players, some who may be key pieces moving forward. Simeon Wiltshire looked great. Much better later in the season. RJ Lewis was starting to blossom 18-9 in that last game against Seton Hall. Hopefully we can get these guys to stick around, continue to grow, continue to work. Zuby, Brady. I think the future's bright. Glenn Taylor.
See what Rick
can do with some Mike Rapoli money out in the transfer portal. That might be able to bring in some big fishes. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll go hunting for the big transfers. I'm sure we'll get some big names. You know, we've heard a few rumblings about, you know, on the boards and on Twitter, you know, some big names. So I'm excited for that. I would like to see us keep those five guys who were part of the rotation who have eligibility left, the two freshmen plus Zuby, Taylor, and Glenn, Zuby, Taylor, and Lewis. Obviously, that'd be a big help. And I think not only does it help because they're good players, but the continuity is a big thing. You know, you don't want to just restack the deck every year.
Nope.
And even if we get better players than those guys and they play in a complementary role, might be a hard sell, but you see what you can do. And hey, we can pay those guys to be happy too. But I like those guys, and I don't want to just have to, you know, find out 13 new guys every fall. I know Coach Pitino doesn't want to do that either.
No.
So hopefully we can keep at least, you know, three of those five, hopefully more, four or five of them, and then take the three freshmen we got and then go have a heck of a transfer haul. We need some guards who can really score. We need some athleticism in the front court. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if Rick can get that job done. I'm sure him and Coach Matt are excited for these next a few months in the portal.
Absolutely. And we'd be remiss for not mentioning Cruz Davis putting his name into the transfer portal today. Best of wishes to him. You know, talking about the hoping to hold on to at least those five guys as sort of a core unit to move on with, and with our three incoming freshmen. One thing I wanted to bring up, you talked before sort of about your excitement level coming into March Madness. This is always, even with St. John's missing it in the previous years, this is always my favorite time of year. I mean, college basketball for me, you know, I'm a huge sports guy. Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, love my football, love my baseball. College basketball is something different for me. My St. John's fandom is something different. There's a Grand Canyon-sized gap between St. John's and the rest of my fan base. With the news that we got, you know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't very down and very not as usually excited as I am for the March Madness tournament starting up on Thursday. But just not only about the current state of St. John's being left out and Seton Hall and Providence getting burned, but I think also just some of the transfer portal news. I'm not sure if you saw John Fanta had a great rant about the transfer portal opening the day after Selection Sunday.
Yeah,
what a terrible idea. I do just think it's just such a terrible look. But as far as us go, as far as we go and trying to hold on to this sort of five key person core, I just think it's so asinine of the NCAA not to provide proper guidance related to multi-time transfers. It seems like now it's multi-transfers will just immediately be eligible after a little bit of hubbub back and forth in the courts in December. Obviously, Rick had made decisions related to this team last year in bringing in guys that had previously transferred, a Zuby, a Glenn Taylor, a RJ Lewis, who would then be definitely with us and presumably wouldn't want to transfer again and sit out. And now just to have Rick made roster decisions based on that assumption and then have those guidelines kind of change and new rules come out, in my opinion, is just so insane. And similarly, just with like the no rules, kudos to the kids. Glad they're getting their piece. They deserve it. They're the ones out there on the court. But to not have any guidelines and just have this be the Wild West and have, you know, Miami last year just go out and buy a Final Four roster, like, I think this is bullshit. And, you know, Rick brought up a great idea of salary caps and stuff like that on NIL. And I just think it's a matter of time before guidelines are put on all this. It's a matter of time before the transfer portal doesn't open the day after Selection Sunday. But that we have to sit here for a few years until the NCAA can pull their heads out of their asses. Like, it's just frustrating, especially when we have a 71, 72 year old coach who is one of the greatest of all time and probably only has a few years left in him. Like, I want to be as excited as I should be for Rick Pitino. And I'm just seeing my excitement get tempered by just the complete morons that run the NCAA.
Well, Cole, what would happen? How excited would you be if this rule happens to work in our favor and when Walter Clayton comes back up?
I will retract everything I just said, and I will say Walter Clayton, Florida's probably hot. You know, you got a young kid, and you know, he probably doesn't like all the heat and humidity.
Yeah,
New York is winter beautiful.
No, I hear you. It does. Clarity
Mike
would
Rapoli
be nice.
Is paying great money.
Clarity would be nice. To have some set standards would be nice. I don't know how they come up with it. It's a fucking mess. And, you know, it would take a lot for me to stop following college basketball.
Of course.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, but it seems like it's not going in the right direction. And that can only lead to bad things as the time goes forward. So they got to figure it out. And, you know, I don't have the answers for them. Not many people do. But you're right. People are losing interest and coaches are losing interest, and yeah, it can only lead to bad things going forward.
Yeah, dude. I mean, but you're brought up the perfect point that coaches are losing interest. When the sport loses a coach like Jay Wright, like clearly about like some of these rules that were coming down the pike, when college football loses a coach like Nick Saban, like, at what point does that become a concern for the NCAA? Yep. At what point does Rick Pitino get pissed off? Like, fuck this. Like, what am I doing beating my head against a brick wall? Sorry.
We're going to edit that out.
The pessimism in me is coming out. But, no, I mean, it's just, yeah, again, it's a matter of time before guardrails are put on this. But it's a shame.
Talking about it. What would you think about coaches or the team's decision not to go to the NIT?
It's just the right decision. It's 100%. Do I wish we got to see a few more games for those six seniors that are riding off? Yeah, of course. Were they playing their best basketball? Would we have a really good chance to cut down the nets in the NIT? Absolutely. But with the transfer portal starting that day, with Alabama already having a transfer portal recruit in their pocket.
Yeah, like, but Alabama is still playing in the tournament. So what's that?
Probably that there was tampering and that they were contacting that kid from Pepperdine before the portal even started. But the fact that teams are already putting in effort and emphasis and their time into recruiting, I think instead of a meaningless NIT tournament, your time is better spent thinking about the future and working on recruits. So
I am caught in the middle. I get when you say meaningless, I agree in terms of winning the NIT and winning those games, it's meaningless. But the games aren't meaningless for those five players we got returning. We got Cruz, or we got Lewis playing better. Would have liked to see him get some more, you know, opportunities. Definitely would like to see Wilcher get a lot more minutes in these five games potentially. The whole like portal versus coaching time. Yeah, but there's all these NCAA tournament teams that are dealing with that. There's all these NIT teams, the other Big East teams, five other ones went. So it's like, what are we really saying to the rest of the conference if we're not going? I don't know. I get it from both angles. And if the players didn't want to go, then it
could be a player
100% cool. If the players wanted to keep playing more games in their college career, which I have no idea, yes or no, what the decision was, and St. John's wasn't the only team that decided not to go. But I do wish they went. I do.
Yeah. Trust me, man. I wish I was watching St. John's play a few more times this year too. But, and you know, like you mentioned, for all we know, it was a player decision. That coach left it up to the players and the players said no. And maybe that's the case. But
yeah, it just seems so weird walking out of a UConn game, obviously hopes to make the tournament, to now never seeing that group play again.
Yep.
You know, like Danis Jenkins play again.
It just made it sudden
and almost made it easier for me to handle, to be honest with you, because we don't have that like taste in our mouth. Like, damn, we just got blown out to end the season. The season's over. I almost feel like it hasn't really set in yet that we're all done. And maybe this will happen when I put this up on and post this today, Cole, that it will set in. The season finality is over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Cole. Any final words, notes? Obviously, we'll be keeping guys in tune as the offseason unfolds and we get some commitments. But for the time being, you know, this wraps up our in-season dialogue. Any thoughts, Cole?
Go UConn, go Marquette, go Creighton.
You led with go UConn? I can root for Creighton and Marquette easily. Begrudgingly, I'll root for UConn for a while. But I'm hoping actually, they wouldn't see either of those two guys till they got to the
All three in the Final Four, I think.
Yeah. Right, and it would be Marquette versus Creighton on one side and then UConn on the other. Yeah, go Big East, fly that flag. Until next time, for Justin Burrell, this has been the Red Storm Rap Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Kane. That's Cole Latshaw. Thanks, everybody, for listening for the whole season's worth of podcasts. Until next time, peace.